Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as if the election this Sunday in France wasn't already fraught enough, ISIS is claiming responsibility for the shooting of three police officers, one fatally, on the Champs-Élysées in Paris yesterday. But ask yourself this.
Who is stupid enough to change his or her vote because some guy decided to shoot a policeman and try to shoot other policemen and a civilian?
French political analyst Thomas Guinolet on Morning Edition today. With echoes of Brexit and the election of Donald Trump, the world is wondering if right-wing nationalist Marine Le Pen will surge in this election. The top two finishers will have a runoff unless someone gets 50%, which is seen as highly unlikely in the multi-candidate field. But if Le Pen is the French Donald Trump, surging recently in the polls as a candidate who's been described as the French Bernie Sanders. Jean-Luc Mélenchon started his own party called La France Insoumise, that's unsubmissive France. Let's find out more from Emmanuel Saint-Martin, a correspondent based here in New York for the French TV station France 24 and founder of the online magazine French Morning, and live from Europe, Griff Whitty, The Washington Post's London bureau chief, also covering the French election. Griff and Emmanuel, thanks very much for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
First, to begin on the news, how much do you agree with the commentator, Monsieur Guinolet, that the shooting on the Champs-Élysées yesterday should have no discernible impact on Sunday's vote? Emmanuel?
It's so hard to tell. It will add uncertainty in an already very uncertain race. So in that regard, that is not some small thing. And people are going to talk about for the next 2 days. You have to also to know that the campaign must end tonight because of France. That's how it works in France. You cannot campaign the last day before the election.
How civilized.
So that was going to be the last day today. And of course, most candidates canceled all of their campaigning events because of what happened yesterday. So basically, the last day of campaigning was yesterday. So adding to the uncertainty, adding to a very tight race. So it's very, very hard to tell, but it adds to the uncertainty for sure.
Griff, certainly 9/11 in New York during a mayoral race helped elect the Republican Michael Bloomberg over the Democrat Mark Green, who had been the heavy favorite. But every situation is different. And I heard another analysis that the attack could hurt Le Pen because she'd be seen as volatile at a time when the French people want a steady hand. Do you buy that analysis?
I think it's very dangerous to predict anything from this. You know, the U.S. president, Donald Trump, has tweeted today saying that this is going to have a big impact on the way that French voters make their decisions. And I just think we can't say for certain. We don't know. Of course, there was the assassination just before the Brexit referendum last year of Jo Cox, the British parliamentarian. She was killed by a white nationalist who shouted, you know, we need to take back control, which was the slogan of the Brexiteers. And everyone at the time said this is clearly going to swing the vote in favor of Remain, that Britain's going to vote to stay in the EU. And of course, that was not what happened. The vote ended up being a vote for Brexit. We just don't know. In 2012, there was also a terrorist attack just before the French election. Three people were killed in the French city of Toulouse. People thought at the time that that was going to swing the vote toward Sarkozy, the incumbent. It didn't. These things are very, very difficult to predict.
Griff just mentioned the tweet from President Trump. Emmanuel, is Trump, to your understanding, either explicitly or implicitly endorsing Le Pen?
You ask me, I don't know. It looks like it may be. I don't know to which extent Donald Trump's tweets still have any effect in this country, in the U.S., so much less in France. But for sure, people are going to talk about it. And there has been connections made between Marine Le Pen and Donald Trump for obvious reasons.
Of course, analogies. But how does that look over there, Griff? Is he seen as an endorser? And forgive me, because I don't know this fact, and maybe I should, but has he either explicitly or with that tweet implicitly endorsed Le Pen?
He hasn't been clear. That tweet is as close as he's come to weighing in on this race. I'm not sure that if he did endorse Marine Le Pen that she would want him to do so. She has been very supportive of him in the past, but she's been putting more distance between herself and the American president in the last couple of months, pretty much since he came to office, since he started governing. She's been much more reluctant to mention his name. When she's out on the campaign trail, she does not talk about him. Just the other day, after Trump ordered the airstrikes in Syria, she very much disagreed with him. She said she wouldn't have done that. She thought that he had betrayed the promises that he made in the campaign to not get involved in foreign entanglements. And when you talk to her rank and file, the Front National activists, they say they don't like the guy. They don't like Trump. So even on the far right in France, there's a sense that Donald Trump is far too extreme for them.
How good is the analogy between Le Pen and Donald Trump, as you see it, Emmanuel, on race and religion, or as a climate denier, or rolling back the national health system? I don't know if she proposes anything like that, like he proposes here, or how far does it go?
She does not propose that at all. And on many policies, she's seen as now kind of a leftist candidate on these issues of the national health system.
Leftist candidate.
Yeah, leftist candidate in terms of policies. Of course, in terms of immigration, the way she sees the world, she's much closer to Donald Trump. But there is not, for her, there is not this strange mix that made Donald Trump between, free market, pro-market policies of Donald Trump and anti-immigration, these kind of things. But she's definitely an anti-immigration candidate. That's what she has been all along. Her father was, and that's really her trademark. That's why she's so popular now. That's because it's the sentiment of a large proportion of the electorate in France.
Does climate come up in France? I'm just curious. Are there climate deniers in France?
Not that much. There is a larger consensus than here about those questions, and I don't think she talks about that much. One way or the other. And you don't really have climate change deniers per se. I mean, it's not at least not the way you have it here.
So even with Le Pen, the French populist right is not as conservative as the American populist right.
She's very conservative on social issues, and I mean on immigration, anti-immigration, anti-Europe. She wants France out of the euro. These kind of things. So that makes her maybe a very conservative on these issues. But most of her base is blue collar people who are workless, who are jobless in the country. And she's very much in favor of all kind of social nets and
yes,
help for these people.
How supportive, Griff, if she denounced the Syria attack? How supportive publicly of Vladimir Putin is Marine Le Pen, and how much is Russia known to be staging dirty tricks on her behalf, like hacking or fake news like they did here last year?
She's incredibly supportive of Putin. She just a few weeks ago, in the midst of this incredibly intense campaign, she took time out of her campaign schedule to go to Moscow for a personal meeting with Putin. Her party received a very large loan, a 9 million euro loan, from a Russian bank that is close to the Kremlin just a few years ago. She is in public. She's very she compliments Putin. She talks about how NATO has really been the source of insecurity in Europe. And she's very anti-NATO. She's someone who has said that France would either leave the military command structure of NATO at the very least, or perhaps would leave NATO altogether. Whether Russia is interfering in the election is a much more complicated question. There was some evidence early on that they seemed to be perhaps putting some chips down on Le Pen, of course, with that bank loan. But they've also shown some favoritism in Russian-controlled media. There's been some favorable coverage of François Fillon, who is the center-right candidate. But there's also a sense, I think, that Russia is being more careful, perhaps, in the French presidential vote than it was in the U.S. presidential vote last year, perhaps because things have not worked out in the U.S. exactly the way Putin might have hoped.
I want to go on to the candidate, Monsieur Mélenchon, but just explain, because this scrambles Americans' brains, I think, when they stop to think about it. Why would a country like France be against NATO, which was primarily set up to protect Europe more than America from Russian aggression during the Cold War? Is it just that, as a nationalist, Le Pen says, well, it's not really France that Russia's going to invade, you know, maybe it would be the Baltic states or Ukraine, and that's just not our concern? Or is it, what is it?
I think it's that, but I think it's also there is a streak of anti-Americanism in France, in a sense that NATO has some imperial qualities to it. It's interesting that Mélenchon, the far-left candidate who you mentioned, he's also very anti-NATO. It's not just a far-right thing. It's also a far-left thing. And if you tally up the polls, it's about 48% of the country that supports a candidate who either wants to take France out of NATO or very dramatically diminish the French role in NATO. So there's a real sense, I think, in France that NATO is not an organization that's particularly, that's not serving France all that well, that is not of vital interest to France. And I think there is this nationalist sentiment of France can defend itself and it doesn't need to be part of these multinational alliances that perhaps get countries like France into trouble.
Listeners, our phones are open for your questions and comments about the French election this Sunday for our guests from The Washington Post and France 24 and French Morning. Anyone listening in France, anyone here who is from France or connected to France, we'd love to hear from you. And anyone else, too, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Griff Witte and Emmanuel Saint-Martin, 212-433-9692. Emmanuel, tell us more about Monsieur Mélenchon being described as the French Bernie Sanders. How good is that analogy?
I'm not sure. It's much more complicated than that. Jean-Luc Mélenchon is in part following up in the footsteps of the very strong communist parties 30 years ago, which is very interesting that to see him taking now some themes from General de Gaulle, like getting out of NATO, which of course General de Gaulle was not really aligned with the Communist Party at the time. So it's very interesting to see how much a mix all of these things he is. But the main thing about him is his charisma, his very strong personality. He's very good in all the debates that happen, very good in TV interviews, and he's really making the most of a very, very, very weak candidate for the Socialist Party, Benoît Hamon, who took most of his supports, basically, thanks to the fact that he's very, very, very strong and very, very charismatic candidate.
Started his own party, which I see translated into English as Unsubmissive France. What does the name signify?
It signifies that he wants an independent France. If you look at the appearances of things, it looks like a reverse candidate from a mirror, maybe, image of Marine Le Pen, in that he's taking the same kind of themes, but of course on the far left, in a far left positions on them. So he's not an anti-immigration candidate, but he's very pessimistic, or he doesn't have a very good view of the European Union, for example. He wants to get out of the of,
he wants
of NATO.
To get out of-
He doesn't want
EU.
To get out of the EU. He wants to renegotiate the treaties,
okay.
which is different. He doesn't say what's going to happen if he can't get a renegotiations that he would like. But it's very surprising for everyone that he's so high in the polls.
It strikes me that Unsubmissive, the name of his party, could be a loaded term in Europe because of that Dutch movie Submission about an Islamist dystopia that got the filmmaker assassinated more than a decade ago. Griff, is there any relation?
Well, I think that you hear somewhat. I mean, there's a lot to differentiate Le Pen from a Mélenchon, but there's a lot that they have in common as well. It's really about France standing on its own two feet. It's a sense that France's national will has been sublimated to some kind of international order that is not particularly welcome anymore. And when you go to the Le Pen rallies, you hear this very strong cry for France to stand up and be proud of itself again, and this sense that France is a country that has lost its glory and needs to regain it fast. And this is a message that, I mean, it sounds a lot like something that American listeners would find very familiar. It's the Make France Great Again argument. And I think on both sides, on the far right and the far left, there's that sense that that something has been lost along the way through the decades that France needs to recover. They have different ideas, Mélenchon and Le Pen, about how to do it, but they're hitting on similar themes.
But if Mélenchon is from the left and Le Pen is from the right, does that mean that Mélenchon does not have what's seen as the racist, religionist overtones with respect to immigration? Is he more pro-immigration?
Definitely. That's a big differentiator between these two candidates. That, you know, when you go to a Le Pen rally, there's a lot of saying, you know, telling people the reason why you're struggling, the reason for your problems is immigrants. They're taking your jobs. They're living off of the public dole. If we stop having so many immigrants, your life will be a whole lot better. You don't see that or hear that at a Mélenchon rally.
And Griff, your article this week in the Washington Post has a very disturbing headline: "A Youth Revolt in France Boosts the Far Right." And your premise seems to be that Brexit and Trump happened despite the millennial vote. The millennial candidate here was Bernie Sanders, but a higher percentage of young people in France are actually interested in Le Pen. How much is that the case, and why?
Well, the Front National, Le Pen's party, won the last two national elections in France, the regional vote that was held in 2015 and the 2014 European elections. In both cases, she was the winner among young voters. And one of there are a few reasons for that. One of them is that only the most radical voters, young voters, have been voting. So she turns her young supporters out, and other parties, other candidates have not been able to do so. So one of the big challenges for Emmanuel Macron, who is the 39-year-old seeking to become the youngest ever president of France, is he's got to motivate his young supporters, and he has them. He's got to motivate them to come out. But Le Pen
and
is
he's
really
like the centrist candidate, relatively.
He is the centrist candidate. He's the former economy minister and former investment banker, who really he's got a lot of support among successful urban cosmopolitan youth. Le Pen's preaching to a different crowd. She's talking to people in smaller cities, in small suburban areas, rural areas, and the unemployment rate among young people in France is 26%. It's twice the national, more than twice the national average. So there are a lot of young voters out there who feel that both the traditional right and the traditional left have failed them, and they're ready to try someone new. And that someone new, the person who is out there preaching radical change, is Marine Le Pen. Her brand was toxic for years, or the National Front's brand was toxic for years and years because of her father. But young voters don't know about her father. They only know about her.
Is she any less racist than he is?
Well, you would get a very interesting debate on that in France, because she's much more cautious than her father, certainly. She's doesn't, you know, he was convicted of Holocaust denial. He was very outlandish and very much interested in provoking debate by saying things that a lot of people saw as racist and saw as just, you know, completely beyond the pale. She is much more cautious, much more careful. She wants to be president. She doesn't just want to be a protest candidate. He wanted to be a protest candidate. She wants to be president of France. And for young voters who never knew the National Front under Jean-Marie Le Pen, the party under Marine Le Pen seems like a very mainstream option, and it also seems like an option that will bring the kind of change that people feel that they need, which means bringing down those unemployment rates and reducing immigration.
Lorena in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lorena.
Hi, I'm glad to be on.
Glad you're on.
Well, so I'm a French dual citizen living in Brooklyn right now, so I'm going to vote remotely this Saturday, and I've been seeing a lot of, you know, information on the elections in my feeds. And one thing that popped up yesterday was a video posted by centrist candidate Emmanuel Macron, you were just talking about, taking a call from President Obama. It was a short video, not much substance, but he was obviously very happy with it. And my question is to our guests, what is your analysis of a video of a call like that?
Emmanuel?
Oh, he's been trying for a long time, Emmanuel Macron, to be seen as the Barack Obama of France, the French Barack Obama. Obviously, there is something lacking here. He's a white candidate. But of course, he wants to be this kind of centrist candidate. And he got this call yesterday, and Barack Obama's spokesperson was quick to say that it was not an endorsement, but still they accepted the video, they accepted the call 2 days before the election. There was a that would have been huge, of course, was a few hours before the attack on the Champs-Élysées, so people don't talk about it anymore. But that was a coup for Emmanuel Macron, certainly, and he wants to be seen. Barack Obama stayed very, very, very popular in Europe, and especially in France, especially amongst, you know, the moderate people, moderate electorate, and people who are the people that Emmanuel Macron is targeting. So it was really a coup for him.
Emmanuel, what's at stake in this election, in your opinion? I've heard analyses as fraught as Brexit was a one-off, even Donald Trump was a one-off. But if France falls to Le Pen, the values of liberal democracy as we know them in the West are really in peril. How far toward that would you go?
I don't know, and I wouldn't say anything about the value of democracy, but about European Union and the Europe institutions as we know them now. That's for sure that if either Marine Le Pen or Jean-Luc Mélenchon were elected, that would change European Union forever, and that would, you know, put it in peril, in danger. The euro with Marine Le Pen, the euro would be dead. Because if France gets out of the euro, then it's Germany, basically. So that would be, of course, a huge change. And there are many, many other things that, I mean, it's the stakes are gigantic.
Griff, same big picture question.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, you know, Britain, the country where I live and I covered the Brexit referendum, Britain has always been half in and half out of Europe. It was never that sold on the project to begin with. And it was always seen as nice for Europe to have Britain as a part of it. But it wasn't seen as a core question of European existentialism, whether the EU would survive. France is, the EU is a Franco-German project. The whole idea was to bind these two continental powers together to make sure that they were working cooperatively so that they couldn't fight any more wars with one another. If France leaves the EU, then you're talking about, I think, you know, it really is just the beginning of a broader dissolution of European integration as we've known it for decades now.
Gisette on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hello, Gisette.
I'm American, but my father is a French-American, and I would like to know if the information that I was given is correct, because if so, I believe the U.S. should emulate some French policies. Number one, all candidates of all parties are by law given the same amount of airtime interviews on television. Two, all campaigning on TV, including commercials, stop 48 hours before Election Day to avoid continuing influence. And number three, there are no big corporate. There is no big corporate money in campaigning. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel.
Yeah, absolutely. The laws are much more rigid in France about these things. For example, there is no. You said they have to stop commercial. Actually, there is no commercial on TV allowed at all. No advertising in papers either.
Just tomorrow or ever?
No, ever.
Ever.
So that makes for much cheaper campaigns, obviously.
Do they get the word out?
You know, there is a lot of news channels there, a lot of papers. There is a lot going on. They just are not allowed to do advertising, basically. And it's not the only thing. They are very restricted in the amount of money they can spend. And they cannot raise any money from corporations. And the limit of money that a single person can give is, the money is very limited, what you can give. So it's much cheaper campaigns. That doesn't mean there are no questions about money and how they get their money, who they get their money from. There are questions about how Russians are involved in both, in at least Marine Le Pen campaign and maybe others. So there are many questions, but money plays a much smaller role than here.
So with a foot in both of these worlds, being from France and living in New York, would you say that France has a leveler playing field in its elections without all the corporate money and advertising than we have?
I think money and advertising is one reason, yes, why there is, but also the system, the way the system works. It's a multi-partisan system. There are not, you know, only two political parties. So that also makes for a much more diverse system. And you have now, that's the first time you have four candidates in such, you know, so close in the polls 2 days before the election. And that, of course, makes for a much more diverse and maybe more interesting race.
Griffin London, before you go, I can't resist but to ask you one Theresa May re-election question, which I know you're also covering. She shocked the world this week by announcing she will put herself and, I guess, Parliament up for a national vote, which she doesn't have to do right now. Is she offering the British people a chance in any kind of way to have a do-over on Brexit? Or would that be reading something into it that isn't at all there?
I think that's not what's going on here. I think that this is a vote that is all about, for her, cementing her stand as the preeminent and most popular politician in Britain. She is someone who came to office last July, not on her own mandate. She had not won the election herself. David Cameron, her predecessor, had. So she stepped into the void that was left when Cameron resigned in the wake of the Brexit referendum. Since then, she has been remarkably popular as she's pushed forward with Brexit, even though she did not favor Brexit during the campaign herself. And this is about her getting her own mandate. It's also about her reading the poll numbers and seeing that the latest poll is that she's at 48% compared to 24% for Labour. She has a remarkable advantage here. Right now she has a very narrow majority in the Parliament. She stands to make that a much wider majority. So, you know, the French election is utterly unpredictable. I think that at this point, the British election is much more predictable. It looks like it's going to be a Conservative victory, and it looks like it's going to be a considerable one. That's certainly what she's banking on. And it would give her a lot more latitude in the Brexit negotiations if she has a much larger majority in the Parliament to work with.
Griff Whitty, Washington Post, London bureau chief, also covering the French election. And Emmanuel Saint-Martin, a correspondent based here in New York for the French TV station France 24 and founder of the online magazine, which is for French people in the United States, right? So some of our listeners might be interested in this.
For both French people and people who are interested in France.
Called French Morning.
French Morning, yes.
The web address?
Frenchmorning.com.
Simple. It's even in English. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.